Creativity Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Riesberg. Over the past several years, I've combined my degrees in acting and somatic psychology to share my sustaining creativity techniques with performers. And now I've decided to share with a bigger audience that includes you. I believe we are all creative, and this podcast is all about that. I'll be interviewing people from all backgrounds, ages, and creativity experiences to share just how creative we all are. Today, I'll be chatting with Morgan McCarver, ceramic artist and Christian author. Please enjoy Morgan McCarver. Welcome to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. Today I'm chatting with Morgan McCarver, ceramic artist and Christian author. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I am happy that you are here and we get to chat about creativity and all of the pieces that you bring. But before we get into our creativity conversation, why don't you take a couple of moments to let our listeners know a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Of course. Thank you. Well, you gave a great intro. Like you said, I'm a ceramic artist and Christian author. I say I'm a Carolina girl. I grew up in upstate South Carolina, and I have been in Asheville, North Carolina for the past 2 years, and I love it. And basically from there, I just love being creative, and I love encouraging others in their creativity.
Oh, that's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about ceramic arts. How did you kind of get into that field of creativity or that version of artistry? And what kind of ceramic arts do you participate in?
Great questions. Basically, I got into ceramics way back when I was in middle school. In eighth grade, I had a passion for dance. That's what I was doing. I had been doing that since childhood, but I had to have scoliosis spinal fusion surgery, and so I had a year-long recovery. So during that time, I wasn't allowed to dance, of course, and I just took a pottery class. My mom signed me up for a kids' camp, and as they say, the rest is history. I fell in love with it. I ended up going to school and getting a degree in ceramics, and now I have my business, and that's also what kind of sparked the book. So it's just been an amazing journey that really all stemmed from something that I thought was going to be the most traumatic experience of my life, really kind of paved the way for what my life was to become.
Yeah, what a transformation.
Thank you. Yeah. And you also asked, I forgot, what type of ceramics I do. Yeah. I mainly work with porcelain. So that's the white, really smooth clay that's kind of translucent. And I use a lot of wildflower designs in my work. And basically, I make anything from sculpture to functional ware. So I do have some sculptural pieces, but I also do mugs, teapots. I'm inspired by Victorian culture. So a lot of blue and white florals. And that's kind of my passion, I guess.
Oh my gosh, how fun. And I love that you have kind of a niche that you do with the Victorian, you know, inspiration. Because I think oftentimes when people find an expression of art, there's so many options out there that it can be really overwhelming. So I'm curious, how did you kind of gravitate towards the more Victorian realm when there are so many options?
Yeah, so there are several things that kind of led me to my aesthetic. One being I work with slip casting a lot. And so that is very prominent in that culture. So Wedgwood pottery, if you've seen their work, that's slip cast. So I make my own molds, my own prototypes, my own slip, my own glaze, and I create pieces that way. So that's one example of how I kind of was brought into Victorian culture. Two, I just love learning about historical clothing. I always have. And the Victorian corsetry is really fascinating for me because I was in a back brace for so long. Because of my scoliosis, I wore a plastic back brace for 3 years. And so in a way, I can relate to that constricting device on your abdomen that's kind of controlling the organic form. So that's another way that I'm connecting. And then thirdly, I play a lot in my work with the ideas of delicacy, delicate nature versus strength. So for instance, Victorian women were thought of as very fragile. Porcelain is thought of as very fragile. Wildflowers are thought of as fragile, but all of these things have that hidden strength. Porcelain is what you sit on when you use the toilet. Sinks are porcelain. So you think of it as being this very delicate clay, but it also is very hardy. And when it's used appropriately, it's very strong. And likewise, the Victorian women were wearing all of these constricting clothings, and they still had to uphold all of these rules and statutes and have their right mind about them and work in the man's world, so to speak, to make themselves heard and make themselves known. And then likewise, the wildflowers, they seem delicate, but no one is taking care of them or cultivating them. They're growing by themselves. So all of these ideas kind of come into that balance between delicacy and strength, that just fits so well.
I love that. And I love how it's informing your artistry, and it sounds like your creative spirit as well. I think that's really wonderful. So now I'm really curious, what does it mean to you to be creative?
That is a great question, and that's something I actually address in my book, God the Artist. But I say the definition, well, the actual dictionary definition of being creative is making something that didn't exist before. So when you think about that, that is so broad. That's not just painting a masterpiece, that is organizing your clothes that are lying in a heap on the floor. You're putting organization into something that wasn't there before. That is baking, that's writing something down. There's so many ways to be creative. For me, it is usually hands-on, whether I'm sewing or doing something with fiber art, or clay. I work a lot with clay, but I always have to keep my hands busy, and that's usually how I end up being creative as well.
I love that. Yeah, it sounds like the kind of the restriction experience that you had growing up with scoliosis and needing to find another outlet, because dance is very movement oriented and very physical, and not being able to engage in that. So finding new ways to express that creative spirit. And yeah, I love that. There's so many broad, that is, it is so broad, and there are so many opportunities to find creativity in everyday, more mundane tasks as well. So thanks for the reminder.
Of course.
Yeah, so being a ceramist,
Ceramicist.
ceramicist, oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Of
It's been
course.
a long day. I am so curious, you know, coming up against challenges with your own creativity, whether it be design or ideas, how do you, what, well, first, what are some of the challenges that you face, and then how do you navigate them?
Probably the biggest challenges are physical for me. Because of my back surgery, I have my whole spine fused, basically. And so I can't bend my back or twist. And that really limits me to what I'm able to do in the studio in ways that don't seem like a big deal. But for instance, bending over a pottery wheel can really put strain on my back. So I have to schedule out my month and plan accordingly as to how I'm going to use the wheel, when that's going to happen, and how I'm going to counter that. So those are probably the biggest challenges. Again, I know my weight limit is 50 pounds. I can't really lift anything over that. So using leverage and carts with wheels, all of these things to kind of work with gravity and not against gravity to help me in the studio. So there are things like that. And then, of course, just simply asking for help from other studio mates. I work in a shared studio space, and so it's great to have other colleagues to kind of bounce ideas off of and share the burden, so to speak.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so much problem solving goes into limitations when you really have to get creative and how to how to function in the space that works in the way that works for you. I'm curious when, like, do you ever come up against creative blocks or moments where you feel like, I don't have an idea about what I'm going to do next? Or what's that experience? Or are you someone who's like, oh, I have ideas all the time?
No, I think artists always have some kind of block of some some sort in some area. For me, I love problem solving, and so usually if I'm stuck in one area, I just work on something else. So I mentioned fabric, for instance, and sculpture. So when I'm feeling bogged down in the studio or making mugs seems mundane, I'll try to take a break and be creative in other ways and give myself other challenges that maybe I sell those, maybe I don't, maybe they're just for me to kind of reignite that creativity to then go back into production. But I know that feeling of just trying to be unstuck and trying to make something work. And if I just keep pushing in that same area, I'm not going to get very far. It really is about redirecting and giving myself another problem to solve. And then I'll kind of work out what has been struggling me. So that's kind of how I approach that.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a good tip for, not forcing it, but allowing yourself to take that break, replenish your creativity, doing something else, and then come back to it later. You mentioned dancing when you were younger. I'm curious what your earliest memory of being creative is.
That honestly would be when I was a toddler. Both of my parents worked, and so my grandmother would keep me, and she would make homemade Play-Doh on the stove. And so I remember she would get the Play-Doh out of the pot, and it would be warm, and we'd put food coloring in it and mix it all up, and just make these elaborate farm scenes or animals, whatever we were making. I loved working with Play-Doh. And I say that's my earliest form of working with a clay-like medium, like ceramics. And then from there, I did end up going into pursuing dance for a time. But it's always funny, whenever I try to get away from ceramics, something always kind of brings me back.
That's true about our passions, whether we accept them or not. I think it's gonna keep coming back. But I love that, that first experience of manipulation with your hands and creating something with that physical, from taking it from like imagination into a physical representation of it. And is that how you kind of work now, being able to, are you a really visual person? You have images of what you want to create and then create it, or are you someone who allows whatever wants to be created to emerge from whatever it is you're using?
That's a great question. So there's a book I read called Art and Fear, and it does a really good job of describing how you have an idea in your head, and whenever you try to execute it, it always disappoints you. And it's because your ideas are more about the feeling you feel when you're thinking of that new project and less about a fully fleshed out project in your mind. So that was something that really helped me kind of work through how my process was going to go, because I'd have this beautiful idea in my head, but what I didn't realize was if I was thinking of whatever I was going to make, I wasn't actually thinking of a visual finished product. I was thinking of the feeling of that finished product. So when I approach my practice in the studio, I usually go in with a couple of rough sketches. I try to have all of the math sorted out. Like I said, I mentioned I make my own plaster molds. And so there's a lot of math that goes into volume and ratios and figuring out how to mix plaster appropriately based on the percentages. Anyway, I won't bog you down with all of that, but I try to have everything, all of my supplies lined up, everything prepared, and a rough idea, knowing that when I get to the studio and begin creating, things could take a completely different shape or form. And I am open to that, and I encourage that because that's allowing me to be creative. I haven't boxed myself into something that I have to create. I'm allowing myself to express myself in that way.
Nice. I mean, it really sounds like you trust, as they say, you trust the process of
It's
the creative
a good way to put
process
it.
that you step into. I'm curious, how would you encourage others to kind of trust their creative process or step into a space of allowing things to be what they are?
Honestly, I would say just keep making, because It's hard. It's hard to do that. And not everything turns out, of course. So the only way you really develop that dexterity and that muscle memory for creating better work and more fine-tuned craftsmanship is to just be in the studio and create. And the beautiful thing about clay is until it's fired, you can always recycle it. You can just rehydrate it, throw it back in the bucket, let it go again and make something new if you don't love what you've made. So it's not so much as wasting, it's using that time to really grow your skill and your technique.
Nice. How often do you recycle projects?
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
I have some high standards, so yeah, all the time.
Fair. I understand that. Nice. Well, you mentioned working in a shared studio and having other people around. I'm curious, how does the community of artists that you're around, or just your community in general, impact and influence your own creativity?
The beauty about the ceramics community is while we all do, the same thing relatively, we all work with clay, we all are fighting for the same clientele, if you will. Our pieces are so different that we really don't take on that competitive nature as much. It's a very giving community. We're constantly sharing glaze recipes, or if we bought an ingredient that we don't like or don't need anymore, we're giving it away, asking who needs it. If we are short on something, someone's always willing to lend some clay or whatever we might need. So it's a really, really special community in that way. And we have a group text going all the time. So when I was working on publishing the book, I actually really reached out to that community asking, how does this book cover look? What do you think of this photo? What should I change? And so it's just so special in that way that I have my own space and I can put my earbuds in, get to work if I need to. But there's always that community there where we can bounce ideas off of each other, hear how others' shows went. We're always talking about festival season and what shows worked well and what someone else should apply for because their work is perfect for that. So it's a really great area in that way.
Nice. It really sounds like a supportive community that will step up and step in when people need extra assistance or something for a project.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm it made me think that the transition you made from the clay art and using that as the medium to writing, and what was that transition for you? Did you always know you wanted to write a book? Or was this something that came about later?
Well, it really started in 2019. I kind of began putting some ideas together. That was the year I graduated from Anderson University with my ceramics degree. And so I was about to lose that pottery community in that area that I loved so much. And so at that time, I was looking for a devotional book. I'm a Christian, so I was looking for a devotional book I could read about ceramics in the Bible because I started realizing how many references to pottery there are in scripture. And I couldn't really find what I was looking for. So I began writing a rough manuscript in 2019. Thankfully, it did not get published. At the time, I was very sad at the rejection, but now realizing that would have been a very rough manuscript. But anyway, I took the next couple of years, just gained a lot of experience during that time, from working, teaching ceramics, working for a ceramic supply store, and then going on to work as a studio assistant for a potter. I learned so many things and gained so much experience that January of 2023, I revisited that manuscript, and it's just been a great experience. Morgan James Publishing really liked it, and so they approved, and now it's published in the real world. It's crazy.
That's amazing, and congratulations on having it
Thank
published.
you.
And that, yeah, I love hearing about just additional creative expressions and creative pieces that get shared and put out into the world that may not be the primary creative energy, but definitely impacts and supports it. So that's always fun to hear from other creatives. And yeah, I mean, this has been such a treat chatting with you. I just have one last question. What does it feel like in your body to be creative?
That is such a powerful question. And I think it really comes down to it feels like a need, honestly. It feels like something that I need to do to survive. And in my book, I mentioned that we're all creative because I believe we were all made by God, and God is a creator God. And so if we're made in his image, then if he's creative by default, we're all creative. And so for me, it's really just, I don't say, I have to be in the studio every single day, but it's really just finding that passion that God's given me and using that to hone my skills and to glorify him through that. So sometimes I'm in the studio, sometimes I'm not, sometimes I'm journaling, sometimes I am doing art just for me, but it is just this feeling of fulfillment and joy and just really unexplainable happiness by using that passion that God's given me in a way that's honoring him.
Nice. I love it. I think that's great to find that experience and share it with others too. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. If people want to learn more about your book, your art, how could they go about doing that?
Of course. And thank you again so much for having me. This has been a great conversation. And I'll just send everybody to my website. It's just my name, www.morganmccarver.com. And from there, you can shop my book, sign up for my newsletter, shop my pottery, message me through the website, or get in touch with me on social media. And I'd love to hear from you guys.
Perfect. I will put links to that on show notes so people have very easy access. And thank you again for taking the time to chat with me. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Sustaining Creativity Podcast. We'd love to keep in touch, so follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We are at Sustaining Creativity. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Tag your friends and family so they can listen too. We love to hear from you, so leave your reviews, comments, and questions. Check out our website, sustainingcreativity.com, for upcoming offerings and creativity coaching. Tune in Tuesdays for our next episode. And remember, with creativity, anything's possible.